No song.
No song.
Yeah, no song. We're going to go into play some.
Bob, are you going to go to the Midwest?
No, no, no. I don't have any desire to go there. No.
Okay. All right.
No. Okay. Unless anybody wants to have something urgent to say, and we don't have many incoming messages, I'm going to go on to the.
I ask you one more thing, Bob.
Yeah, go ahead.
One more question. Did Ian ever say that we went from a quadruped to a biped?
Yes, I don't know if he ever said that. I think that was assumed. I don't think anybody questioned that. Wait a minute. Ian does laugh at Darwin. Is that what you mean?
Well, I'm doing a study group on the psoas muscle. And that's the most powerful muscle in the stomach area, and it says that it evolved from the quadruped to the biped.
Well, I don't know.
So
you have to ask Ian about
that.
Well,
wait a minute. Maybe we never were this four-legged creature, and we were the biped.
Right. Well, it depends on how much the thought has been built up, because the thought and the word spoken, the Darwinian view, creates a timeline or a meme or a reality. So... you don't want to limit your choices to that, but that would be a reality. But there's the non-Darwinian meme is another version of it. So that's what you want to... This is getting beyond duality, is to realize all the different possibilities. Mm-hmm. The, what is it? Extremely impossibles, Carolyn, that phrase last week?
Mm-hmm.
More and more impossibles. This show is impossible. We're going to have some more impossibility. This is from session 216, December 5th, 2009, and it takes up with what Ginny and I were talking about, I think. Just a minute, check that. This has got to be that one. If it isn't, I'll correct it after. Just a second. I don't know if that's right. There it is. Okay, so that is, session 216, December 5th.
Oh, you're so funny.
Well, I do this for Bill, because he puts it up on Information Farm, and, he's got to get the dates right, for my mind. So here we go. Dig this, everybody. How we get beyond the anthropomorphic physical.
But, you know, we talked, it's not the gray matter, this mushy stuff that you could touch.
Well, let's ask you this, since you're ready for the next payer. What is your body made up of? Physical meat sack.
All the components that the Wikipedia would tell me my arms and muscles and blood vessels are made up of, right?
No.
They are? It does include that. Now, you could say...
No, it does not.
Oh, what does it include?
Well, no, it does not.
Well, what is it that does not? What is it?
It's only cells.
Okay, so it's cells. Those are physical.
No, wait. No, they're... Oh, are they? Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. You got me cornered.
Connie, he bit.
Okay, stop it. I don't care about your distractions. Stay on point.
Well, what point?
See, now he's forgotten. We got him.
I'm going to replay that. That's the key point. I'm using arms, legs, and he says it's cells, just cells, Carol. That's the opening. So watch how excited he gets that I got duped into the anthropomorphic view. Let's go back here and just replay that for everybody's edification.
Oh, what does it include?
Well, no, it does not.
Well, what is it? What is it that does not? What is it?
It's only cells.
Okay, so it's cells. Those are physical.
No, wait. No, they're... Oh, are they? Oh, boy.
Okay. You got me cornered to watch
it. Connie, he bit.
Okay, stop it. I don't care about your distractions. Stay on point.
Well, what point? Well,
now he's forgotten. We got him. Well, how'd you get me? Well, we can't remember.
Here we go. You are nothing other than sales. That's all you are.
Okay.
You are only cells, because you're saying...
Just hold that. We're only cells. What are cells made up of?
Protons, neutrons, and a field of ions.
Protons, neutrons, and you would include electrons?
Yes.
And a field?
In an ionic field.
The electrons are in an ionic field.
Yeah.
So most people.
No.
So let me just
stop.
Let me tell you what I've gotten, so then you can correct it.
But you forget.
I want to say that most people, when you ask what's the cell made up of, they go neutrons, protons, electrons. They don't say ions usually.
The ionic field.
Beg your pardon?
You're more than one atomic molecular.
Okay, people will say proton, neutron, electron. That's what the cell's made up of. And then someone will say, well, what about the ion? Oh, well, I didn't know about the ion. What's that? And then
it's the jelly.
It's the field. It's the field
it's
where.
The jelly where more than one atom occurs.
More than one atom, which is made up of a proton, neutron, and electron.
It's the peanut butter that smears the ions.
The electron, proton, neutron together.
Okay.
Three. The ions, that's what's so appropriate about ion as a name. It's the thing that glues things together or smooths them over or resonates them together to coherency, correct?
Mm-hmm. So that's what you are.
Those are four parts.
Yep, that's all.
Yeah, and the ion is...
No more.
Right, no, I got that. But the ion is the...
I'm glad we didn't play any music. I forgot to mute everybody. We got Carolyn, you got Corbin, everybody's overlaying this, it sounds like to me. So
all participants are now muted.
Okay, so I'm going to take it back a little bit. I don't want you missing any words. Did you guys hear Carolyn laugh? Yes, we heard Carolyn laugh.
Nothing other than cells. That's all you are.
Okay.
You are only cells. Because you're saying that...
No, hold that. We're only cells. What are cells made up of?
Protons, neutrons, and a field of ions.
Protons, neutrons, and you would include electrons?
Yes.
And a field?
In an ionic field.
The electrons are in an ionic field.
Yeah.
So most people... So let me just...
Stop.
Let me tell you what I've gotten, so then you can correct it.
But you forget.
Look, I want to say that most people, when you ask what's the cell made up of, they go neutrons, protons, electrons. They don't say ions usually.
Ionic field.
Beg your pardon?
You're more than one atomic molecular...
Okay, people will say proton, neutron, electron. That's what the cell's made up of. And then someone will say, well, what about the ion? Oh, well, I didn't know about the ion. What's that? And then an ion...
It's the jelly.
It's the field. It's the field where...
The jelly where more than one atom occurs.
More than one atom, which is made up of a proton, neutron, electron.
It's the peanut butter that smears the ions.
The electron, proton, neutron together.
Okay.
Three. The ion. Yeah. The ion's a tactility. That's what's so appropriate about ion as a name. It's the thing that glues things together or smooths them over or resonates them together to coherency, correct?
So that's what you are.
Four parts.
Yep, that's all.
Yeah, and the ion is...
No more.
Right, no, I got that. But the ion is the nebulous envelope, the nebulous field. It's like the mind itself in physical terms that holds things together. You follow what I'm saying there?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that ion?
You see, agreed, Bob.
He
already said what?
That this field holds it all together.
What did he say?
Okay, so I repeated what you had agreed to, and you agreed to what I repeated.
So therefore, it was your idea.
Don't bring the personality into it. I'm not claiming anything. I'm just using words to talk to you and trying to get it down, get the right words.
Okay. Now that's all because we ask you
that's what we're made up of. Those four relations,
and that's all. Because you were saying with arms and legs and this, that, and the other, because then we said, no, because some people can chop legs off, so now you're no longer human.
Okay, you got that. We're just making
what? So that's all it is.
You cut your leg off, and then you can feel a phantom pain. Is that what you were going to bring?
No, that you're still alive without your leg, so your leg isn't a requirement for what you're made up of.
So we've cracked the code. We know what we're made up of.
Okay.
And
now,
what are they made up of, those four things? What are they made up of? Is it the rock bottom? There's nothing below that. No subset of that. The neutrons.
Oh, but there is.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is
here's the part that where you're gonna like.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't know if you're gonna like it or not.
Doesn't matter. Forget about whether I like it. Yeah, 50-50 shit. Don't worry about it. Don't take it personal, however I react.
You've got a 50-50 shot.
Don't take it
really
personally,
like it.
However I react.
They human creators with the physical and non-physical, with their labyrinth of their mind, with walls intact, gray matter snapping, and working normally, okay?
Yeah.
Here you go. They're now discovering when you have these atoms that have the electrons, they're constantly moving.
Okay, the atom is the proton, neutron, electron, and ion, correct?
Well, in an ionic field.
Ah, okay, three parts, three and four, or three and another part, okay.
Correct. And we'd say...
And they're finding out, now they've got your definition, they're finding out what?
They're finding out that electrons are here, and then they pop and they're here. Pop and they're here. And then they look really closely, with they have now electron microscopes.
Yeah.
And they realize that there's two electrons can be in the same place at the same time.
Right.
And they also can disappear from its structure altogether. And that anomaly is really causing some stir and some problems, because the labyrinth of the mind said that the world is flat.
That's right. So what I get from that is they're realizing that there's something other involved than the four components, you know what I mean?
No, there's something else involved, yes.
Yeah, ion act aberrant and anomalous, and that the only way you can solve that is bring in the non-physical.
Into
parallel worlds.
That's it. And that's what proves
right.
Parallel worlds. Because that's all you are is cells, lots of
and
cells.
And that's what's going on at your basic foundational structure.
That's what's going on at your basic
foundational. And the rest of the world resonates, echoes that point.
And that's the consistent anomaly that they don't understand.
Right, Carol's smiling. You like that, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Got it. Perfect.
Now, that's at the basis level. Now, we've done that from your physical.
Yeah.
Now, what is your non-physical?
Yeah. What's it
what
made
is
of?
That?
Yeah, what is that? That's right. What is it? What is that? If it's not physical,
you can have non-physical with no meat sack whatsoever.
Okay,
no,
just a second.
No ions, no protons, no neutrons.
That's right.
No, none of that.
Okay, hold
it.
Don't go any further. Yeah, we got that. Almost any minute. Now, just let's say this. So you've got the electron bouncing around. That does not necessarily mean there's non-physical, but it means within the realm of matter there's more than one world. The bouncing around electron does imply not only parallel worlds, but implies non-physical. Doesn't imply non-physical.
No.
Okay, so
not.
I'm understanding it to be only within the physical. It's the physical foundation, and it implies two conversations of everything to other worlds. That's in the physical. We still don't know what the non-physical is.
Good. Yeah. And so we ask, and we still don't know, and we were trying to tell you, so we got that cleaned up. Okay.
Yeah.
Non-physical is not bound by your molecular structured rules and regulations.
Right.
This is your.
Is it bound by the mind?
No. Hell no. Oh. Thank God.
Remember the Stone Cold Dead tapes. Mm. Once you're just non-physical, there's no mind.
There's no mind. Oh yeah. Okay.
Never mind.
So you're pointing out it's not physical. It's not
at all.
Yes.
And when you're talking about non-physical, it's a collective. It's not an individual.
Mm.
Exactly. It's a collective entity.
Mm.
It's all. Now, the way you'd show up in those applications of non-physical can be the inertia that causes kinetic energy to begin.
Okay, so you're now bringing in physical things, inertia and kinetic energy, right?
Yes, because you humans don't understand that either, But you know the representations and the valuations of those.
And what's an example of inertia?
Thereof.
What's the values of inertia and kinetic energy? What's the expression of that?
Speed, being sedentary, hot, cold.
Oh, okay.
Even emotions, happy, sad. Even conjecture, I'm at peace, I'm ill.
It almost brings in the attitude of the mind.
Well, no, the mind is what gauges how you're doing.
Oh, and it's how you're doing is what is the inertia and kinetic energy. But that's a two-way process, because you could subjectivize how you're doing, you know?
But you do. You do.
All right,
that's
so let's,
the mind.
That's the mind track. So back to what you're saying somewhere is the non-physical starts to touch and be manifested in the physical as kinetic energy or inertia.
It's the example of how it shows up. Mm. It's how they tell that you're still alive.
That's why people are affected by other people's actions. They feel.
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct. And that's the non-physical plugging in to the physical from the largeness.
Yeah, when people say you hurt my feelings, they're addressing the non-physical
thing. They're talking all of the feeling place that attaches them. But other people then would say, well, you didn't. I'm so sorry I stepped on your foot. No, it's okay. I didn't feel a thing. Or you didn't step on my foot. I'm not going to let you close enough to hurt me.
That's a flip, but it started off on the person that you hurt my feelings, and the other guy said, I'm sorry. No, you didn't hurt my feelings. That's the assertion of individualness in relation to the collective non-physical.
Separates you from being judged by the overlay.
Right. Is that the mind doing that?
It's the mind's application. It's the mind's application, but it's not the mind's fault.
Right, you've got the non-physical as a collective. Once you start getting in the physical, there's a sensation of being an individual, and the mind kind of supports that in relation to the non-physical collective.
But then duality kicks in, and you go, wait, every human has the same amount of time. No, they don't. They last different numbers of days.
Yeah.
No. We're saying that every human on the planet that's alive, they have the same amount of time. Okay? That day. They have 24 hours a day or whatever. And we go, well, no, not so much, because some humans can get a ton of stuff done in an hour, and some people can't get nothing done in an hour, and that's not the same application of time. Well, no, see, it's the sameness. You have the consciousness, the collective consciousness, that's saying all men are equal, and then you have the individual saying, well, I'm glad I'm more equal than they are.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm more equal than she is. I'm glad I don't have that issue.
Right,
okay. So then you twist that back around from the collective side of non-physical, and then it becomes the application of the distance between the physical and the non-physical.
Which is both you. Yeah, there's the you that's an individual and the you that's the collective.
That's correct.
And it's A is to B and C is to D all the time, jumping around in ratios, right?
And the ratios are gauged by the judging contest of the labyrinth of the mind.
Right.
And who's the judge? You are. Well, how do you judge? Not so well.
Right, but here's an issue. So the mind usually is judging based on matter, cultural input. But they probably overlaps a bit into the non-physical.
It absolutely it does, because there's things that show up that can't be that are.
Right, so...
There's things that show up that can't be that are.
Right, so the way the ionic field holds together electron, proton, neutron sounds a bit like the mind, if you understand the mind is in the interval between modulating the cultural conditioning of the physical and leaking in and responding to non-physical. That's
so
sort of what the ion is, sort of?
Well, you're not going to catch us like that. Let's say it like this. If the labyrinth of the mind, if you could remove the walls of the labyrinth, then you would be able to see clearly from one side of the mind to the other side of the mind. And there would be no choice or nebulous disconnection of being lost.
Is that what happens when you're dead, when you transitioned?
No, it is not.
Yeah, there's no mind, but within the physical, if you could take away the wall, Is that reflected in the role of the ion at the basic cellular structure?
And also it would give you clear sightedness, so there would be still be contrast, because you'd still be in your confines of a labyrinth. It'd just be four square walls rather than a whole bunch of little rat trails where the rat's trying to find the cheese through the maze. It takes the amazement out of the maze.
Right. So if you remove the ion, the something could see why the
If you remove the walls from the maze of the mind, you'd still have physical, you'd still have non-physical, and you'd have a mind, but it wouldn't be a labyrinth. You'd be able to clearly see all views and directions within your beingness.
Can you do that?
You damn sure can, and that's when heaven's going to show up on Earth.
When you remove the walls of your mind.
Absolutely, because then guess what? For the first time ever, you don't have to wonder, well, if I turn right, where will I go? Well, I'll go this way because I've done this before, and if I go this way, I'm the rat and I get the cheese. Well, then they change it, and then it can't go that way. Then it's lost. And then, well, what if I eat a Snicker bar? What if I don't eat a Snicker bar? Blah, 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 blah. All these choices and twistings that you wind through, if you knew the outcome, that you're going to be just as whole with a Snicker bar or without a Snicker bar, then you could follow the choice of what your preference to prefer would be. And without the maze, then you would be able to not wonder or question. You would know. I know.
Okay, so this is
very good, Bob.
Hold it. Is it the ion? Compliments later. The ion. Can we talk about the ion as a metaphor of what you're describing with the walls removed from the mind? Do I even bring the ion into it?
Yes, you certainly can, because it's the field that you're using to judge how these molecular atoms are connected together, the structure.
Okay, so you remove the walls of the mind, and that would affect the field of the ion.
It would take the amazement out of the maze.
And what would it take out of the ion?
Nothing.
But
it would open up your view. You wouldn't be limited by the question. You wouldn't have to. You wouldn't be talking to non-physical, wondering if it was really non-physical, or if it really was, or if you were God, or if you had power, or if
so. So, is it useful to bring in the ion in this conversation?
Certainly, it is. It's the field by which you're trying to open up your view.
Okay, so
that's why we were poking at the view earlier.
Then we come to the question of how do you remove the walls of your mind? You're back to the conundrum.
Field of perspective.
How do you remove the walls of your mind?
By very simply, attaching as much significance to your non-physical part as you do your physical part.
Oh, okay.
You got it, so let's finish it.
Yeah.
By opening up your mind to, what is it they say on Fringe, innumerable impossibilities.
Opening up your mind to that.
Yeah, that there is help, that there is a universe you're the center of, that you are in charge of it, that you are all-powerful, all-knowing.
But that requires at first a belief. You start believing it.
Because the evidence becomes so fractured. The evidence, the empirical evidence, becomes so fractured that you have no choice but to at least acknowledge it.
And that's where the faith comes in, what they call it.
Well, no, that's where science can't prove that it isn't.
Right.
It never takes faith. It takes faith.
Believe yourself.
Science can't disprove.
Yeah, you believe yourself into the cracking the walls of your mind.
And that's done by thought, and that takes place in where? The mind.
And where's antimatter in the middle of that?
It is the opposing view that makes the black hole the anomaly that you can't get past, the event horizon that you can never arrive to.
Oh, okay, so the antimatter is something that's engaged in this process of believing yourself to remove the walls of your mind. Antimatter is engaged in that? It's involved?
It's the opposite.
It's saying, nah, you can't do
it.
You can't do it.
Correct. But the point of this whole...
And you have to wrestle with that.
You don't have to, but many do.
Yeah, you don't have to, but you've got to figure out how to ignore it without ignoring it and all that.
Then answers will be questioned.
And what it is, it's when you know that there's the ionic field, that immediately expands your view of the three neutron,
yeah,
proton, and electron. It gives you that space of distance, the detachment.
Right. Now, most people, the average person who's got a basic high school education or college, knows there's a neutrons, electrons, and protons, right? I don't know if the kids know about the ion. Maybe they teach it in school.
They do more than a human.
More than the parents. See, I don't know what the average person thinks. I don't know people who talk about the ion, Carol, but I haven't talked to people, and I'm not talking to young kids. But let's say the young kids might know about the ion. But adding ion to the thing is a new factor for you, right, Carol? And that's a metaphor of ion showing up, and it's being called on to complete the triad, to complete the meaning of the electron, proton, and neutron.
That's what makes the metaphor
of you showing up on. You're showing up now because the ion is the marginalized particle that people haven't been told much about. Do you agree with this metaphor?
They have been. They just don't call it that.
What do they call it?
The age of Aquarius. The flower children. The punk rockers.
That's what they call the ion.
Well, that's what allows the ion to be empirically referenced.
The punk rockers.
You can have hippies. How did hippies decide that they wanted to be hipsters? Well, that's the ionic field that allowed the overlapping.
Right.
That
and the ionic
bad or
field,
wrong or out, outside
yeah.
of normal.
The ionic field, as you're saying it, is the factor of what McLuhan meant by tactility. Ion is the tactile. The tactile is a field.
It's the sameness of tactility.
Yeah.
Now, here's what we're, that's good. Here we go. I have this pain, and this pain shows up over and over and over, and other people have the same pain, so therefore you have bursitis. That's the ionic field that allows the overlapping of even lack of ease.
You mean the overlapping where two people have the sameness? The same symptoms, right.
In the ionic field will give a doctor a heads up that you have the flu or a cold or cancer or tumor.
But he doesn't think about it as a tactile field. He just says, oh, you've got the same symptoms as that person.
And I've only looked at the most disconnected ones, so the most disconnected ones have this, and when they have this, it's that.
Yeah, but that's how we got into this. This comes back to your opening point. Where does individual consciousness overlap with the general sharedness of some idea that everybody kind of agrees is happening? Do you know what I mean? Like time. The idea there's time is something everybody thinks is there. And why... You're just saying that the ionic field is what makes the doctor see bursitis in two people. That is answering slightly my question about what the heck is it that goes from individual subjectivity where everybody's the center of the universe and they're all seeing a different thing, yet they kind of agree a bit. That's through the ionic field?
Correct.
Then ion can be appropriate metaphor for creating a new religion past templardom and Christendom, because ion is pointing out the field aspect, the tactile aspect, and then elaborating in these terms and these topics as you did tonight.
That allow you, and the job, the reason, the point of this conversation, again, you've heard this, but let's do it one more time, that this is there's something new that's just bubbling.
Say it. All right.
Could you spell the word nowhere?
N-O-W-H-E-R-E.
Okay. And if you put a space.
Now here.
Yeah, now that's here. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You say, now here.
I know Gerd Stern. I mean, we play with that division a lot. Erewhon, the book by Samuel Butler, is now here backwards. Nowhere, now here. We've done a lot of that in the McLuhan School, but that's why it's not surprising to me.
Well, I understand it, but it is
You develop it. Develop it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. The nowhere.
Yeah.
Now here.
Yeah.
Is the anomaly that you spend all day, every day, of answering of where are we?
Right.
We, not me, well, not where am I? Well, we're now here. Well, that's nowhere. Well, that nowhere is the example that you're trying to bring the anomaly closer to. We're nowhere close to where we should be. So we're
even
now
though here. We're still now here.
Exactly. And that that and that answering of that question becomes the, how skewed your labyrinth is. See,
yeah, the labyrinth is a tactile, is an ionic field, in a way.
No,
the field between now, here, and nowhere, or the dialectic, the interplay.
That's just the difference between you and you.
That's another way of saying it. Now, here, and nowhere.
But if you could remove the amazement of the maze, if the labyrinth of your mind, if you could take the maze out of the labyrinth of your mind,
right,
then you would clearly see where you are. You would clearly see where your non-physical are. And then the distance between those could be gained inclusively because you'd see the perspective of where your physical is and where your non-physical is. Then you wouldn't have all these questions of can I do it? Is it okay? Will they kill me? Can they kill me? Am I good? Am I bad? Can we do it? Yes, we can. Can
I do it? And many people have arrived at that perception or perspective.
And if they have, that's the key that Thoth was trying to get you into place with your Emerald Tablets of saying, if you could get rid of the amazement, the maze, then guess what? It's not a hard journey. Life is not difficult. You aren't confounded every single moment of your every single day of nowhere that you're now here. And if you can figure out where your perspective of your GPS for your balloons are of where now here is, then nowhere becomes quite an anomaly. And if it's an anomaly, then if you're not squandered by the perspective or the energy that it takes to understand that the electrons are not bound within this spherical plane. So once you understand that, parallel worlds, multifaceted worlds, become as easy as pie. Well, pie sometimes isn't easy, but pie is easy. It's easy as pie. You just put it in the pot and bake it and have pie.
So what, you've integrated, like, Rai, the definition of Rai was the, that Aware, Cosmo Aware talked about, was the original A-W-E, and so the word author was a subset of awe. So the principalities were built on awe or amazing, is stunning. And that was McLuhan meant the medium is a message. The environment stunned you. You were shaped by it. And he tries he tries to get you to see through it. You're completing that by pointing out that we get rid of the amazement in the maze. And the amazement is the awe principle. You're stunned by where you are.
And you wouldn't be stunned if you could see all the perspectives and the choices of how it's going to come out.
Right. So
you wouldn't be stunned. That's good.
Say that again. The choices of how
you wouldn't move. if there was no amazement, if there was no maze.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be stunned by your perspective of the distance between you and you. But right now you're just amazed. You are amazed.
Right.
That means riddled. That means you can't figure it out. That means that it's, if you do figure it out, you're just surprised beyond your knowing. Well, if you know, then you're no longer surprised beyond your knowing.
Yeah, but part of the ability to do that, getting beyond your amazement, is to know that once you think you've arrived, it's going to change again and you'll be re-amazed. So you catch on to the tactile fluidity of the process and then you're not...
But it doesn't have to be tactility. There is fluidity, but it doesn't, within the ionic field, there doesn't have to be. There can just, you do this, you're the best one probably on the planet, Bob, even better than all, better than JW even. And we think a lot of him because he knows who he is. But you do it better than most all because you won't even embrace it long enough to notice your perspective that you've calculated that's within your beingness or knowingness of accepting something. Because you figure the time I take the time and energy to figure something out, it'll be all old hat.
Right. Now, that's what I was trying to say, that I can move rapidly, so to speak, and I know I'm going to be re-amazed, but I can erase it pretty quickly and then get ready for the next amazement, the next moment, the next now, and then ignore that.
We don't have a problem. We don't have a problem with the labyrinth itself, but what if the walls weren't quite so high? What if your field of vision wasn't askewed?
Yeah.
Maybe if it was like a half fence, you have to stay within these parameters. But if you could see over the wall, here at the wall,
yeah,
here at the wall, if you could say here at the wall and see over it,
yeah,
then guess what? You'd say, okay, if I take, I'm going in this sort of geographic direction, so if I keep taking a left-hand turn, and then if I, every time I take a left, I take a right, it's going to move me to that corner because that's where the cheese is, then you just seamlessly stroll along the way going in the direction that you were trying to achieve, which if you're the rat in the maze, it's to get the cheese.
Mm.
And if you could lower the wall, if you could take your field of perspective or raise your eye level,
yeah,
within this ionic field, then guess what? You don't get caught with your pants down. You know the outcome. You know the flow. You know the process. And once you know that process, you can still have all the contrasting feelings of life, because you want the contrast. That's how you create. But you don't have to be so buried by it.
Yeah, you never get down. You never get rid of the wall and the continuous amazement. But you're really good at erasing it pretty quickly and
or
demanding
above it.
Seeing above it, and you say, "Okay, reality, bring more on." Oh, I can
that's
handle
that. That's an ascended being, one who can see over the wall.
Right, and knows that you never totally get over the wall. And so we, every day, do our day, then we interact with Ion. And interacting with Ion exercises us seeing through or over the wall. And that's a metaphor for if we didn't have Ion, we might have another means to exercise ourselves. But
well, you constantly wonder, okay, we're now here,
yeah,
but that's nowhere. We're
right.
No closer to here than we were when we were there. Well, we were there, but now we're
and
here.
And if you relax and allow in that process, which I do, so
then
I'm always I'm always erasing the wall. And
then you don't notice.
And I don't notice.
You don't. No, you don't erase the wall. You just don't mind where you are in that perspective.
Right.
And, you relax and allow where you are. So I'm perfectly happy. You were perfectly happy in New York, and you're perfectly happy. Happy in Maui.
Right. So
you didn't know the difference other than Carolyn moved and you thought you might better go with her.
Yeah, it was more convenient. I didn't have to put on so many shoes or clothes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's fun.
But
that's
you didn't
fun.
Know that until you got here.
Well,
I
enjoyed the amazement part here. Oh, this is great. You know,
you enjoy it so much so that relaxing allowing allows a new confidence in your place of knowing. I think I know.
Yeah, that helped Ion happen.
Of course.
Yeah, so the...
And that activation is the ascension process that we're trying to get the physical meat sack, the non-physical consciousness, and the labyrinth of the mind not to be offended or raise your awareness, cosmic or otherwise,
yeah,
to the degree that you can see the full perspective of where you are and where you're going and the distance between you and you. Then, guess what? Everything becomes your oyster. You can then find the pearl every single time.
Right. In my particular case, I treed it. I didn't. Nah, we're going. Okay, let's go tomorrow. Nah, well, it might be different. I don't know. And I get here, and then I enjoy the difference. And
right.
Then I we want more, and then more comes. So
right.
That's the ascension process.
Correct. And once you get there, then you're not wondering, well, did we mess up? Are we supposed to write a book? Are we not supposed to write a book? Are people going to buy this? Or do we want a website? What kind of website? Well, what do we have to do for people to notice? And if we're going to write the blog of the future now, what does it have to be for people to actually engage it? And how much can we do to get them into the place where they'll take it on and this becomes part of their beingness so much so that they would actually be interested in this particular format in which we're laying it out? Do we have to lay it out a different way? And then if we decide to go that way, which words do we have to buy from Google to make this so that force people into a place of recognizing that this will help them and they'll be happy if they'll ever figure this part out? And see, even after you figure it all out and get it developed, then you come back and say, well, then how do I do it better? How do I do it more efficiently? How can I type the same number of words and reach 10,000 more people rather than have having to do the same words 10,000 times.
Mm.
Okay? And that's what you call efficiency. But it's only allowing yourself to come to this place where people stand in amazement and go, wow, you know, that chick looks about 30 and she's 112. What's she got going on here?
Yeah.
There must be something to this, and I don't really care what she says. I just want to eat what she's eating and do what she's doing, because apparently
that's the closest way I can understand of how to imitate her to get there.
Exactly. Apparently, I'm not offended by the outcome that she's embraced.
Yeah.
Apparently, I am not offended by the outcome that she has embraced.
Yeah.
Now, does that make her all-knowing and being and seeing? No. She has questions. She has contrast. She figures it out. She spins it up and makes pate most days, okay? And that's okay, fine. But in that process, she's constantly redefining that level of degree of perfection to make the recipe of life come out the way she wants it to come out, the way she wants it to come out. Maybe there's a different application. Maybe we want it more like mayonnaise or less like mayonnaise or a different degree if we play and adjust with the frequency of the recipe. Now, once that happens, if there's the non-physical part. We're talking about Carolyn, if you haven't figured this out yet.
Yeah.
There's the non-physical part of Carolyn is resonating at a different level. She has a different kind of client than she used to have.
Mm.
They used to, she'd only get those that are on the edge of hospice, but there's no way that non-physical couldn't even help them because of where they are, and those were her lot. Well, then she redefined what she wanted, and she could peep over the wall, and she's starting to remember that whole process, and then different clients are showing up in her experience. And that was, it felt pleasurable to her. And it's kind of like, cool, okay, I can go with this, I like this, yeah, I'll have a little more. Yes, I'll have a little more, yes, I'll have a little more. But you don't start off with a great big vat of that because you don't know how you're going to digest it. So you limit that flow based on your comfort level of achievement. But that's what you would like to reference it as. So it makes it very simple and very easy that you don't need $100 million to make your point. You can make your point with where you are.
Okay? Right.
And they'll show up. They just will. And you just keep doing what you're doing because what you're doing is what you're going to do with $100 million or without $100 million. Same. When it's the same, then it doesn't make any difference. Well, when it doesn't make any difference, they'll build a road to you and have it go nowhere else but to you. Well, that's the ascension process that we've sort of developed and coming to a place where we need real live, living, physical, breathing examples of how you attach the physical meat sack, the non-physical part, through the unamazing labyrinth of the mind. The unamazing labyrinth of the mind. When the labyrinth of your mind has less amazement, then you have a higher degree of a confidence to proceed in the pathways that you sojourn.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, we talked about the four and the fiveness. The four and the fiveness a little while ago. So you've got the four relations, the electron, proton, neutron, and the ion. Is there a new particle or something you would name that comes in as you ascend? Is there a fifth element, a fifth particle? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it the axion?
No. That's a good word, but it's not.
Yeah.
What did Thoth call it? They called it an ascended, the ascension, the ascended man.
So maybe become a capital E for electron, a capital N for neutron, a capital P.
Yeah, but those bodies don't, no, you wouldn't notice it that way. You'd only have a whole U and a whole U.
Yeah, you wouldn't even have that image. You wouldn't have that image up here. You wouldn't use the particulate image.
That is correct. Uh-huh. But you also wouldn't have that individual. Once you're ascended, capital M-A-N,
yeah.
then you wouldn't notice that the particulate field is being individualized.
Yeah.
You'd realize that this that those electrons that are constantly jumping also take the nucleus in its retrospect. So therefore, if it's in retrospect, then the world that you're in right now may be very different than the world you're in nowhere.
Right. Did you say the electron takes the nucleus or the neutron with it?
It takes all of it with it.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's anomalous.
When it jumps, it takes it all with it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's paint a picture this way, and you're gonna, this looks good. And I don't care if you like this one or not. It's the way it is.
You like it.
The neutron, the center, the nucleus of the cell, if the electron can disappear and both can inhabit the same time space, then therefore the nucleus of that cell must also be able to be dividable within two parallel realities.
It has to be dividable within two parallel. That's the two snowballs that Nina shows in Fringe, in a way.
From a cellular level.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, if one cell is two worlds, or if an electron, which is by definition the part that goes around the nucleus of a cell, that's where you had to figure out how to do it to split an atom.
Yeah.
And when you did that, you caused all kinds of energy flow from the splitting of a single atom in a particulate field. Well, that's because those two electrons can inhabit the same space or neither space. They jump. Well, when that's the case, then that nuclei has to also, if it's standard, then it has to be representative of multi-worlds.
Right.
Otherwise, those electrons can't imbibe the same space in the same year-time continuum or be eliminated for they both to disappear or completely disappear from the nucleus of an atom.
Yeah, so cell division is an approximation of what goes on, which you've explained.
So cell division is replicating itself. It's the replication.
Right, and this dividing the nucleus to be both worlds with the electrons that drag it to the other world, that is not represented by the replication division.
That is exactly correct, and very good, Bob, because that's what would decide how thick the walls of your labyrinth are. Good. That's very good.
Right, but you said that. Now, what is that that would decide? I made a whole statement, but what is it that would decide how thick your walls were? We were talking about the cell replication versus the nucleus.
The dividing of nucleus, cell division.
Yeah. So which of those two is that which makes the difference?
The cell division. That was the only that.
The cell division meaning the replication or the both kinds?
No. Cell division is not replicating. Cell division is cells dividing. And that replication is what can determine the thickness your wall, of the labyrinth of your mind.
And that's not connected to the process of the nucleus being divided to cover the electron jumping.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's correct. It doesn't undo parallelism.
Okay. What? The cell duplication division does not undo.
Right.
Yeah. See, we're talking about two things. We have to indicate which one you're indicating when you go to the next sentence.
Yeah. I guess.
So the thing is, all this is irrelevant if the person becomes ascended. And so the whole model...
Well, no, they won't ascend until they can have the empirical proof of the proof in the pudding that it is.
Right.
No, you're going to prove to me that there's ESP, or even if I've got it, I'm not going to have it.
Right, but I'm just saying this image of the electron, of the atom that we're talking about, that's a shared image. The mind doesn't have to have that. Or why do people agree that matter is made up of that?
The same reason that they didn't understand there was antimatter until it was.
Yeah, they didn't know this the way it was until it showed up, until it was defined. But why?
So they couldn't disprove it.
Yeah, but why did minds agree? They did not have this image of
the consciousness within their beingness. they used their power to divisively divide themselves from their power.
Through developing technologies, because they couldn't...
But technology is what put everybody tweeting at the same time, and Facebook on the same
space,
and MySpace on the same RSpace.
Yeah.
And that over the technology actually corralled it back around to put everybody back to it. You mean everyone has genitalia? Yes. Would you like to see mine? Yes. And I'm so excited about it that it makes me want to look at mine. And then I notice mine's different than yours, but it's still genitalia. Isn't that interesting? Then you come to a place where that becomes such a place that now even sexuality has no modesty.
Right.
Now it's no big deal. And so the next sex site will be the my sexy big toe, and you have a big toe website where you can look at other people's big toe and just be aroused from the looking at someone else's big toe.
Okay,
makes about as much sense as the size of the genitalia.
Yeah, in Shakespeare's era, they did not have the image of the neutron, proton, and nucleus, electron. Why?
Oh, but the concept they most certainly did. That's where the fate. That's what William Shakespeare and Chaucer and T.S. Eliot and all those in that swirling spin came into the place of even developing fatalism.
Right. There was always the expression of the tensions of consciousness. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So what?
Degrees of separation, we'd call that.
All right.
Okay.
So then where did we get the image of the electron? Now we got it from some microscope or whatever technology J.J. Thompson had in the 19th century.
They got it from, they put up a corn grain in the earth. They would sacrifice it to die, and in its death, new life would spring up eternal from it, and you would get a multiple, not just, you put one corn grain in the field and it comes up a corn stalk. Well, that won't help. You got to have more than one for them to pollinate. But then when you get the ears of corn, each ear of corn off of that one corn stalk has, you know, 100 or plus of corn, individual corn seeds that you get much more out of it than you put into it. And you realize that there had to be some anomaly, that you had a increase in what you put in the ground and what you got out. Because otherwise, if you just put one in the ground and just got one out, you'd never make any more than that one. Because every time you'd make more, you'd have to have the one that you had made from the last time for the next time.
Okay, so what's that going to do with Thompson coming up with the idea or image of the electron?
Well, it's what it was used, the empirical reference that proved that there had to be some dynamic that allowed this replication of these different particulate fields that allowed that anomaly to be understood.
Right, so what one was they think was replicated in the 19th century that evoked the image of the electron?
We have no idea.
See, that's what I'm wondering, like, the image we have, you say the base, my body's made up of the cell, and that's that. They certainly did not have that notion, those images, 400 years ago.
They certainly did, because they looked at what happened when they reaped and sowed.
All participants are now unmuted.
Okay. I hope you were enjoying that. We'll finish it next hour, but anybody have something immediate to say? Anybody got to go to the bathroom? Anybody leave the room? Everybody's unmuted. Lots of hands waving.
Bob, that was amazing. I lost track, started listening, and I have to listen to that probably four more times.
Yeah, it's amazing. I agree. We hope you will become unamazed, but it is amazing at first.
I made some notes. Ionic is the connection field. It reminds me of the morphogenetic field I think Sheldrake talked about.
Yeah. Well, what do you think when I asked him what is this IFL? He says it's the age of Aquarius. It's punk rockers. It's very important. He's telling us that we're just electrons and, you know, just cells. But then when you get into the field, it becomes the human beings.
Well, punk rock was the antithesis of the New Age.
Yeah, yeah. It was any group mania.
No, you're right on. They're trying to dispel it.
It's group mania. It's the crowds, the crowd behavior, the crowd dynamic. Ion's a crowd master, crowd dynamic. I thought it was just. And did you notice how it? I was there saying, "Don't get personal with me. No talk." I told you it would say what we were talking about. We all. The theme was not to get personal. I was telling Alan to stop being personal.
You know, the Xenocrity of it was I've been mulling over the labyrinth of the mind, and something that has been discussed. It's the idea that I have to get over the labyrinth of the mind, so that's been my preoccupation.
And we had good definitions. They're walls.
Exactly.
But we'll continue this. We'll continue right after. We'll take a break. No music.
Very, very wonderful.